The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the crowd, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all that you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen.
Amen.
So, I'm not exactly sure what the sermons have been in here in the last few weeks because I've been over in the sanctuary, but I know that there's been a lot of preaching on the Old Testament, and so what I'd like to do is provide a little bit of context for today's gospel. So, looking at today's gospel, the previous 3 weeks of gospels have been Jesus addressing his disciples, Jesus teaching them. The first, going back 3 weeks, we learned the names of the disciples, and Jesus sent them out with authority to cast out unclean demons, to heal. And Jesus empowered them to proclaim the good news. And Jesus guided them to travel light, to go to places, to homes, and stay there where they were welcomed, and to realize that they would not be welcomed everywhere, and those places they needed to leave behind. And he said to them, "I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And he cautioned them that they might be handed over to councils. They might be dragged before governors and kings. This was a reality check for his disciples. And then 2 weeks ago, Jesus is addressing his disciples still, and he's describing to them the nature of discipleship. A disciple is not above his teacher. He describes again the violence that may await them and says, "I have come to bring, not to bring peace, but a sword." He also continues on discipleship. "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it." These are serious messages to the disciples. And then last week's reading is again instructing the disciples, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." So the past 3 weeks have been instruction, guidance, and teaching to the disciples. We might think of these as Jesus preparing his disciples for what lay ahead for them, giving them clear guidance on the reality they would face. And in some ways, he was assuredly adjusting their expectations, because they were very human. And as all humans, we tend to have expectations. So Jesus is clear. And in today's gospel, the scene has shifted. And Jesus is moving from guiding his disciples to now addressing the crowds in the cities. What happens in the verses leading up to today's reading is that there is awareness that John the Baptist has been imprisoned. And what Jesus says following that, which is before our reading, is that people could not see who John the Baptist was. They could not see beyond their biases, their expectations, their judgments, to see that John the Baptist truly was a prophet, truly was a messenger of God. And then Jesus talks to them about how people have not been able to see the healings that have been done in their midst. So when John the Baptist had sent messengers to Jesus to find out, John wants to know, sitting in prison, John wants to know, okay, is Jesus the one? And Jesus addresses these people who John have sent, and they say, and Jesus says to them, tell John what you have heard, what you have seen. Tell John of the miracles. Tell John how I have been speaking to the poor. And he sends them back and then turns his attention to everyone else. And you can tell in these opening lines of today's reading that Jesus is frustrated, and that frustration is coming through. Jesus says to the crowd, to what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus is so aware of how the people turned on John the Baptist, how they failed to see beyond his appearance, how they cast him out, how they imprisoned him, and his death, which is to come. And he sees this as a type very consistent with the warning he's given his disciples, that not all will be able to receive the message of God. Not all will be able to welcome the good news because their minds and hearts are simply not open, not open to hearing. There's something about this language and the content that feels, at least to me, very contemporary. It's as if this is simply the human condition. We have high hopes for the next generation, and yet each generation has its burdens, its challenges, its growing edges. We look for greater wisdom, greater justice, greater altruism or enlightenment, greater faith. And we find some of these things among the human struggles that we seem to continue to have and that can overwhelm our access to wisdom. Jesus speaks of the crowd behaving as children, not responding to what is right in front of them. And then he describes the polarization of the crowd, using John and himself as examples. The people ridiculed, cast out, and arrested John, though he was a sober ascetic, neither eating or drinking. John hadn't been dressed in fancy clothes. He was not part of the power structure. So they dismissed him and his message. They dismissed his message to repent, that the kingdom was near. Instead, they said he was possessed by a demon, and they locked him up instead. Then Jesus, whom John had foretold, arrives in their midst. And Jesus is not at all like John. Jesus is eating and drinking and walking in their midst. And yet Jesus himself describes how he has been labeled a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus does not match any of their ideas of what a Messiah would look like. He does not match the message that they expected to receive. Those in power are very content with their power, with the status quo. So there are huge gaps here between the message of John the Baptist, the message of Jesus, and what people are able to receive. When I think of this polarization, these elements feel alarmingly familiar with the divisions we see today in so many facets of our life, in politics, in issues of justice, in religion, environment, even sports. There are fewer and fewer safe topics that are not divisive these days. My family and I are down to a very narrow list, and it seems to draw narrower as another one falls by the wayside. And crowds can be so polarized. How can anyone speak and be listened to or try to share information when they are shouted down? And just as in this scenario, things become very personal. The attacks Jesus describes on John the Baptist and himself are not ostensibly attacking the content of their teaching, but are attacks on them, themselves. They're personal attacks. John is possessed by a demon. Jesus is a glutton, a drunkard, with highly questionable associations. So what do we do with this? In this country, and many countries, there seems to be a weariness and a wariness of others, of leaders, of direction, of messages and messaging. Truth and justice can seem elusive. Pathways are simply not clear. I think the challenge comes, as it always does, with discernment. As human beings, we can be a fickle lot, enamored with a public position or person one day, and not so much when we see more of that position or that person. We can be full of expectations, conscious or not, as to whom might speak for us and to us. We can be full of judgments, what voices are worthy of our attention, and what ones not so much. And we can get caught in the challenge of bridging generational differences in worldview, life experience, technology, and dreams and hopes for the future. We think we know how we want things to be, or how they should be. And this process of expectation and judgment begins very young and seems to continue throughout our lives. I'm reminded of a conversation between my son Ryan and I when we were taking a long walk. It was near Eden Park, and he was 7 years old at the time. And it was like so many of those conversations we might have. We're not really sure where it's going when it begins. So he said, I'm half you and half dad. And I said, no. I said, you have parts of me and your father, but you're mostly you. So then he said, I'm a third you, a third dad, and a third me. And I said, no. I said, you're mostly you. You have characteristics from your dad and me, but you're mostly the unique person that's you. He said, getting a little exasperated, okay, but I'm part you, part dad, and mostly me. And I said, yes. I said, okay. He said, okay. Then I want your brains and dad's personality. What could I say? I shared this with his father, and his father thought that he'd chosen well. Even at 7, he had made some clear judgments, had some expectations to how he wanted things to be, how he wanted to be. And it's not that expectations and judgment are inherently bad. They can inspire us, hold us to a higher value. They can be extremely helpful reference points. They can help us separate truth from fiction. We can help discern what is needing to be revealed in our midst. But we are deeply challenged to truly listen and discern when we are hearing voices that reflect our understanding of our baptismal vows as followed by Christ. We need to be able to hear those voices, even if they're expressed by people we might least expect to hear them from. We need to hear the words that reflect our call to love God and our neighbors as ourselves. We need to be able to discern, regardless of the trappings or lack thereof, of expensive attire or power or wealth or education or political affiliation, without discrimination because of race or culture or gender or religion or all the other things that distinguish us, places of birth. We need to be able to look beyond those distinctions and the distractions that can lead us away from faithful listening, that can lead us away from hearing a message, to hear the prophets that might be in front of us today. Often I wonder, when a prophet is in front of me, can I recognize them? Can I hear them? If they're speaking in a different language than I might expect, if they come from a different place than I might expect, can I get past my expectations, my judgments, to hear the message that we need to hear? The verses that have been omitted from today's gospel, we jump from one section to another, are verses where Jesus really confronts people from different cities, people who have seen the miracles, who have heard his message, and yet have not turned their lives to God. And then he goes to the prayer that we heard today. And then he comes to some of the most comforting words that I think are in all of Scripture. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. With these words, Jesus is speaking to the meek, the poor, those without power, those who struggle, those who have come to believe. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. These are words in which we can all take heart. We are invited to learn. We are invited to humbleness of heart. We are invited to find that place of rest for our souls. Jesus' message could not be clearer. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen for the echoes of this, and let us follow where Jesus leads. Amen.